All right, guys, welcome back. It's the episode
100.
Most of our listeners have been waiting for NFC North breakdown, and it falls on episode 100. Honestly, I'm surprised we've done 100 of these and people still listen to us. So thanks to those who stuck around.
I mean, you won two leagues last year?
I won 66% of my leagues last year.
Yep. I was top. I was third or fourth in one league. And then obviously Dynasty a little bit different. And then
the Bijan winner in the Dynasty League.
The Bijan winner in the Dynasty League. Yeah. But, you know, first year doing Dynasty. But redraft, I was 50-50 on getting money back or some type of winnings.
I mean, if you want to win money, listen to us for this year.
Yep.
Simple. But yeah, NFC North on today's breakdown. But we got a big signing the morning of July 25th. Former Bears tight end Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
1 year deal with the Saints. I saw that notification. I just swiped right away. I was like, oh, he's signing a 1 day contract.
Right.
Retiring as a Saint. Good for him. No.
No. I thought he already did retire.
I thought he did too. Obviously, this means nothing for fantasy. I mean, I wasn't taking any Saints tight end as it was. Who knows why they did it, but 40-year-old tight end, basically, just I don't know.
How old is he? He was only there for 5 years. So, like,
are you looking it up or should I?
He's 36.
36. I was going to guess 38 to 40, but
he hasn't played since 2021, where he played with the Bears and he was tight end 48.
He had a decent season the first year with the Bears, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he was tied in 14. Yeah. He had 8 touchdowns. That's why.
Yeah. But he's been out of the game for almost 2 years now. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're converting Taysom Hill to the quarterback and Derek Carr is going to sit on the bench.
Maybe. But, yeah, don't take him anywhere. Even if you had 15 roster spots, I still wouldn't take him.
No. Serious news, though. Saquon Barkley, he was holding out on the franchise tag for $10.1 million.
He held out for nothing.
Ends up signing a one-year $11 million deal. So he caused a ruckus for $900,000.
And apparently the Giants can still tag him next year.
They could. They can. We can be in this exact same spot next year, which is kind of
fun. But I think he would make more next year than he would this year. I think your second year on the tag, you make more than your first year on the tag.
Sure. That makes sense, but
right.
I think I'd cause a ruckus for 900,000, wouldn't you?
I probably would. But we don't make that much as what they're making. So
as a football fan, I am happy that we're going to see Barkley week one. But Josh Jacobs, he got on a plane, he's working out on his own.
Yep.
They're nowhere close to a deal, but there's still optimism for him to be back week one. So I don't know where that's coming from, but
yeah, I don't know if they kind of do what the Giants did, but maybe more incentive. I saw some of Saquon's incentive was the team making the playoffs. Weird. But Jimmy G is coming back. He's going to be ready for training camp, which is good news for Devontae Adams owners. And if Jacobs does come, it makes it better having a more capable quarterback than Brian Hoyer. So it's not big news for Jimmy G or the Raiders, but it's good news for Devontae and all the other pieces over in Vegas.
Sure. Training camp started this week. We're getting Hard Knocks in a couple weeks. We're firing up. But before we get into the breakdown, I want to talk about one player, Javonte Williams, because we've both been out. This happens every year with, you know, season-ending injuries. He'll be ready. He'll be ready for camp. He'll be ready for preseason. I mean, at this point, he wasn't placed on the PUP list. Physically unable to perform list for people who don't know. He's starting training camp, quote unquote, healthy. He's still wearing his knee brace, but I mean, all signs point to him being ready for week one. So at this point, I'm kind of out on Samaje Perine and still Javonte. I need to know more, but all the signs point to him being ready week one.
I could still see this being like a 60-40 timeshare
to start,
which I mean, even maybe throughout the whole season, like maybe towards the end, it's like 75-25. But these coaches, the new head coach with Sean Payne, they brought on Perine on their own. It wasn't from last year. So they do like Perine. They gave him, I don't know how much, but they gave him money. I think a 2-year deal. So I don't think they're just going to go away from Perine. I still think it'll be very 50-50, 60-40 early on. And there is that case of Javonte re-injuring it. That's what happened to J.K. Dobbins. He came back early. So I'm still fine with Piran. He's going in the 9th, 10th round. It's basically nothing. But it does kind of like – there was the chance that he could be the 80-20 guy early on. Now it's looking like it's not.
So Williams' ADP is still 702. If he stays off the list for training camp, if he comes out, does the normal starter, like play a couple of drives here and there in the preseason – I mean, 7th round. How do you not take
Javonte? If he plays in the preseason, then it's completely different because they're actually trusting that he is healthy, putting him out there. Sure. Even if it's for a drive each game. Oh, it's just 3 games this year. But if they're actually putting him out there in game speed and actually willing to let other teams hit him, that's a lot of confidence, a lot different than just having him practice.
Right. I mean, Williams, we saw he got targeted a shit ton before he got hurt last year. Mm-hmm. We saw what Sean Payton does with Alvin Kamara. Javonte's now Kamara, but the pass catching back in this offense, 7th round, give me that all day.
Yeah, it's this, again, keep watching it, keep monitoring. Other news that just came out, Jameson Williams, he's suspended for 6 weeks, but he tweaked his knee and he's out for a couple of days. So,
yeah,
even though he's not playing until week 6 anyways, he should be healthy. I'm kind of getting out on him on Dynasty now, too.
100%. I tried trading for him last year, buying him low, but at this point, I'm out.
Yeah, and Kadarius Toney just had another knee injury and a quick little surgery just now. Out on Toney. I guess the only receiver I would take a chance on in the Chiefs would be Sky Moore, but the only two people I'm betting on is Kelsey and Mahomes.
Save yourself.
Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed.
Save yourself the headache of drafting any Chiefs wide receiver. Just don't.
Yes.
Any more news before we get into it?
Nope. Nothing big. Still waiting on Dalvin Cook news. That's really about it.
All right. Best division for last. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Vikings 13-4 last year. They were 8-0 in one score game. 8-0, right?
11-1 in one possession games.
11-1, including the December 40-point comeback versus.
Yep.
I mean, if a couple of these balls go the different way, we could be talking about a Lions division win, but that might be coming later. So, Kirk Cousins.
We both just gave like oh.
You never know. Yeah, if you don't watch on YouTube and you're just listening on Spotify, yeah. Kirk Cousins, ADP is in the 10th round. I mean, every year it's the same narrative. He's a fine late-round quarterback for streaming weeks and plus matchups. You know what you're going to get, 4,000 yards, at least 25 passing touchdowns.
Yep.
I mean, he's not your every-week starter, but in the right matchups, he's fine.
Yeah, I definitely like Kirk Cousins. This is a team who threw the ball third most last year. They do have Justin Jefferson. They lost Dalvin Cook, so they lost their main running back, and they drafted a first-round wide receiver. I could see those pass attempts even get higher compared to third in the whole entire NFL.
I mean,
Kirk Cousins, there was 7 games. He was a top 10 quarterback. It's just safe. It's not sexy. He's never going to win you a week, but he has great weapons and a fast paced offense with a terrible defense. So they need to score points to win games. I do like Kirk Cousins in the late rounds, 10th, 11th. And if you can stack him with Jefferson, even better.
I know. I feel like that's basically the reason anybody drafts Cousins is to get that stack. But, I mean, I'd rather take Rodgers in the late rounds. I'd rather take a shot.
I don't know. I think I'd rather go Kirk and the next quarterback we talk about. I'd rather go Kirk over Goff.
I would go Kirk over Goff for sure. But Rodgers, you could make the debate.
You really could.
Alexander Mattison, before we get into him, I feel like there's always like one or two guys every year where you're just like out on, you're finding wrong on, but you're just like out on for no particular reason. And I find myself passing up on Alexander Mattison in most drafts. I mean, his ADP is the 6th round. So if you bust, it's not the end of the world, 6th round draft capital, but, he was averaging almost 17 points per game as a starter the couple times he started when Cook was out.
Mm-hmm.
He's still only 25 years old, and they don't really have much on the depth chart. He can be the bell cow back. I mean, he has top 15 upside, but in a pass first offense, is he he's not really involved in the passing game. So,
I mean, right. And yeah, so with Dalvin Cook on, he had 65% of the team carries and 10% of the team targets. So, like, he should get 50% of those carries and 5% more of those targets, possibly. I just think it's a really good value. He's going as the RB24 in best ball right now. Cook was the RB11 last year, and it didn't feel like it, but I'm fine with Madison. I think you're going to get a guy who's going to have a lot of opportunity. Again, fast-paced offense. They need to score points. And in a division where there aren't any good defenses in this division. So right. That's six games. You can count on high-scoring games, and they could be up on these other three teams, and they're running it out. So I do like Madison. I like his value. I mean, like you said, sixth round, if he's your RB2 and you went the zero RB strategy, I think that's a great pick because you're going to have loaded wide receivers and possibly Patrick Mahomes too.
Right. I mean, he's just fine. I'd rather take Miles Sanders with more upside in the same round, but.
And I think in best ball, Miles Sanders is going before about a whole round before him as the RB20, pick 59 compared to pick 73. So there's if I get both of those guys in round 6 and 7, 5 and 6.
Oh yeah, give me that all day.
I'm super excited because then I should have three starting receivers and an Allen or an Andrews possibly on my one offs.
Sure. I mean, it sounds like you're more in on Madison than I am. If he falls to me in a redraft,
fine. Yeah, I'm not reaching. I'm letting him come to me and I'll take him.
100%. I had to go look at their depth chart. Their wide receiver one is listed as some guy named Justin Jefferson. Have you heard of him?
He's not only the Vikings wide receiver one, he is the NFL's wide receiver one right now. That's all I wrote is 101.
I must be out of touch with football because, yeah.
that's literally all I wrote, 101.
I wanted to go. I didn't know where his targets were. He had 184 targets last year. He had the sixth most receiving yard or best fantasy finish of all time.
Yeah.
There's a realistic shot where he gets 200 targets this year.
Yeah, I mean, like we just mentioned, Cook is gone. Adam Thielen's gone, who is a veteran guy. They brought in a rookie, but that doesn't mean that they're all going to go. That JJ's not going to get more.
Right.
I mean, if you take him at 101, it's no one's going to laugh at you. Like, it's easily done. But people like Chase, they like Cooper, like TMC, you get him at the 104, and now that's a steal.
Right, and people, that's been the narrative for a bunch of these analysts and fantasy experts this season, is they don't want the 101, they want the 104 or 105 because there's much variance between Jefferson, Chase, Kupp, Eckler, CMC.
Yeah.
If I had the 101, I personally would go CMC, but you can make an argument for all those guys.
Right. But yeah, next let's talk about the actual first-round draft pick, Jordan Addison. In Dynasty, he's not the top guy. I think he's the third guy after JSN and Quentin Johnston.
According to the sleeper mock drafts, yes.
Yep. But in redraft, I think he's the best option from the rookie wide receivers this year.
Year one, he will finish the highest for the rookies, yeah.
Yeah. There are obviously two other receivers in both scenarios on both other teams. He can step in. We talked about Thielen. He had 17% of the targets, which was only 107. And I say only, if a rookie can get 107 targets,
that's insane.
He will do more than what Adam Thielen did because Adam Thielen fell off hard. Again, fast-paced offense. Third most pass attempts in the NFL. Jordan Addison's going in that 7th, 8th round area. I think it's a great value.
Addison's ADP is one spot away from the 8th round. Yeah. He's going to get one-on-one coverage every game with Jefferson on the other side. I mean, with that being said, his ceiling is capped because he has Jefferson, but he can put up solid wide receiver 2 numbers in your flex spot.
Right. We've seen Chase and Higgins do this.
Right.
This could be a Chase and Higgins scenario. Higgins was a second-round draft pick. You know, not saying that matters, but going into the NFL, Addison technically is viewed better than Higgins.
Sure.
You know, off of, like, where they were drafted and all that. And their combines, all that stuff.
Right.
So yeah, I'm in on Addison in Dynasty and in redraft. Obviously the speeding scenario doesn't seem like there's gonna be any issues for it.
Nope.
But just watch out for camp. He had been missing it. He didn't attend the first rookie camp, so just watch it, whatever that injury is.
Did you see the tweet I favorited about Jordan Addison the other day?
Was it like the guys reported the camp and it is that Addison must have been the first one? Yeah. I did.
That is hilarious.
That was good.
TJ Hockenson is ADPs in the fourth round. Woof. I mean, that's too high for me. I get that Minnesota's a pass-happy offense, but when Goddard and Pitts are going two rounds later and they could easily finish higher than Hockenson, mm-hmm. I'm gonna punt the position to the sixth round. If I don't get one of those guys, I'm totally punting to the last pick in the draft. I mean, he's been more consistent on Minnesota as opposed to when he got traded from Detroit. But again, same thing with Madison. If he's a tight end two or tight end three, I'm fine with passing up on him and being wrong and not taking him in the fourth round.
Right. I mean, just to be on the other side, we talked about all those targets being gone. He could see a majority of those targets, all of Adam Thielen's, Cooks. He could see those. And, you know, Adam Thielen was a red zone guy. That's where he made his money. You could see Hockenson, who is bigger, obviously, than not only Addison, but most wide receivers, tight end.
Right.
That's where he could get those touchdowns. He could get 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, possibly. And then that's where he's going to be the tight end too. But you're spending up for it for a team that has a pure dominant wide receiver one and a first round rookie wide receiver. It's even though it's a lot of pie, it's still he can't be the number one guy on his team.
No, he might be the number three guys if Addison comes up firing. But you're missing out on a whole solid tier of guys going either around like six picks earlier or six picks later. Mixon, Amari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, Justin Fields, J.K. Dobbins, Justin Herbert, Hopkins. I mean, give me all those guys easily, and then I'll take a guy and finish two rounds later in Dallas Goedert or Kyle Pitts later. So,
right.
No, thanks. Detroit Lions, 9-8 last year, just missed out on the playoffs. We were all rooting for them last year, week 17 or week 18.
But yeah, the Rams had to beat Seattle, right?
Yeah, and the Rams did not. So, I mean, Jared Goff, his ADP is one round later than Kirk Cousins. They're the same guy to me. I mean, 4,400 yards, 29 touchdowns last year. If you need a late-round quarterback, stream him in the right matchups, boom.
Yes, but I think I would just take
– yeah, why do you like Goff better?
I do not like Goff better.
Or why do you like Kirk Cousins better? Because I view them the exact same.
I just think I have a better wide receiver one. I have a better wide receiver two. And, you know, I think offenses are both kind of the same. I think the team obviously is better in Detroit. But I just think give me a guy who has that elite wide receiver option, a possible very good wide receiver two option, a better tight end position. I just think the pieces all around are better for Minnesota.
And that's fair. I guess we'll talk about Jahmyr Gibbs. His ADP is in the fourth round. I like the overall offense. I know Jefferson's better than all these guys, but I like the Detroit better. That's why.
Right. I mean, they have a far better offensive line. You know, don't get me wrong. They have a top five. But, you know, your rookie running backs, like, his value, Gibbs, is just going to be in the receiving game because of Montgomery is going to get all the goal line work, first and second down work. Like, I just think there are more better pass catchers, not including what Madison could do in the backfield.
Sure. Biggest shock of the draft, Jahmyr Gibbs, 12th overall pick. You don't take someone with that draft capital and
instantly
plug him in. So there's serious hype around Jahmyr Gibbs right now.
Yes.
I would not be shocked if he saw 100 targets year one and caught 60 to 70 passes. That makes him an instant RB2 with upside.
Yep. You know,
he reminds me of a younger Kamara, and I think his play style is going to be similar.
He reminds me of a DeAndre Swift.
Oh, God, don't say that.
I mean, he does. Like, he is a gadget guy who can break away on the, you know, a toss or a screen pass. That's what Gibbs does. That's what he's known as, what Swift was doing.
Yeah.
Swift just wasn't healthy, and obviously he's getting older. I think he has tons of upside, but if for some reason that passing work isn't what we think it could be, he could be a bust because he's not going to get the goal line work by any means.
No, I think Monty is going to be listed as the starting running back, and I wouldn't be shocked if Monty got more snap percentages throughout the year too.
Right, and speaking of Monty, I love his value. I've probably taken him the most in my drafts. Not even like, hey, I'm going for Monty. It just ends up that way.
Right, because we both like the zero RB strategy this year in the seventh round. Hell, I'm even fine with him being my RB1 if I load up on receivers, quarterback, tight end position, no matter what.
In that offense, yes. Love the value. His whole career has been an RB2 or better. And you're drafting him in the 8th round, possibly, with a better offensive line than he's ever had in Chicago, a better offense that he's ever had in Chicago, high scoring, fast paced. Monty, I think, I have so many late my guys this year. He's up there right now with one of my guys.
We might have to talk about that because I was thinking about Monty.
I know. I love the value. I love the player. Love the offense. And same thing with Gibbs. I just think Monty is just safer, but Gibbs will win you a fantasy year where Monty will just stabilize you.
He will be plugged into the Jamal Williams role of last year. I wrote down, I wouldn't be shocked if he had double-digit touchdowns inside the 10-yard line this year.
Right. Yep.
So that is one downfall with Gibbs. He will be the pass-catching back, but once this team gets in the red zone, unless he lines up in the slot or the Debo, the hook-arounds, whatever, I mean, Montgomery's going to get the work.
Who would you rather have? Because I saw this, I think on Twitter, it was, Aaron Jones or Gibbs?
Assuming they're going in the 4th.
They're going right around each other. Best ball, Aaron Jones is the RB15, and Gibbs is RB14. They're right next to each other.
Gibbs is 401 and 405 on my rankings. That's tough. I mean, one's a clear RB1. I wrote down possibly the sleepiest sleeper of all time this year for Jones. So I guess I got to go Jones.
Okay. I mean, you have a guy, we're talking about him in, a couple minutes. That's who I kind of compare Gibbs to. Aaron Jones is a little bit thicker. I think 8, 9, 10 pounds heavier. But we've seen it before. Sure. And Jones is a better runner. Gibbs is a better pass catcher in the passing game.
At this point, Gibbs is younger. He's more athletic at this point in his career, but I feel like the offense will be centralized around Aaron Jones because I'm personally not a Jordan Love believer, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a guy that I think both of us believe in, Amon-Ra.
Yeah, he's just a safe pick.
Yeah, top 10 wide receiver. He's going to get all the targets. Jameson Williams is out.
Yeah.
They don't have Hockenson. They have a rookie tight end who they do love. It's really, we could see him seeing 170 targets.
Yeah, I mean, Dynasty, redraft, no matter the format, he's going to the 2nd round. I'm fully in on him at anywhere.
Okay. How many – I did not write his targets because, when you talk about guys like him, you don't need to say what he did last year. But he had 146 targets, and he missed the game, and he was kind of banged up here and there. 160 is not out of the question for him.
Oh, my God, no. I went to the Bears-Lions game in Chicago last year. Every fucking play, his name was being called, and it's just ridiculous because they have nobody else.
They still don't. That was in Chicago. Was that towards the end of the season?
It was end of November, right before Thanksgiving. Or middle of November. It was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 11 targets, 10 catches, 119 yards.
Yeah. Just insane.
Yeah. He just didn't score last year. I mean, he had 6 touchdowns, but 3 of them came in the first 2 weeks, and then the other 3 came in weeks 12 and 13. That's five weeks in a row twice, like he didn't get a touchdown.
Right. Give me Amon-Ra all day.
Okay.
Packers 8-9 last year.
LaPorta.
Okay. I didn't write him down. You're high on LaPorta. Let's hear your case for him.
I just think, I love the player. I love the team, the offense, and the target room. We've talked about James Williams is gone. There's no wide receiver 2, even though they did just trade for Denzel Mims. They've already said that LaPorta looks like a veteran. He's been running with the ones. I mean, if you just punt the position, I think LaPorta has early upside, but I'm not banking on him being a top 5. I did have a hot take. He's a top 12 tight end.
You don't even need to draft him. You can pick him up off waivers week 1.
Probably could. But I do like LaPorta. I like him for Dynasty. I just think he just has a huge ceiling, and I think there'll just going to be tons of opportunities there for him. But let's go to the Green Bay Packers.
8-9 last year. Again, just missed out on the playoffs. Jordan Love, I wrote, no, we don't have enough sample size. There's too many better quarterbacks that are fantasy relevant who are proven, and you just have to wait and see.
Yep, out on him on redraft. I think he does have good weapons. We talked about Aaron Jones. They do have a good offensive line. All the reports are that the Packers want to play fast, 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 which is good for fantasy and offenses. More opportunities to score, more plays. But I'm not going to draft him when there's been nothing.
happening.
I'm just trying to think of a world in redraft that I would.
Unless it's like in three quarterback leagues, then yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could he be a QB 14? Yes, but again, you don't draft that on that's his upside. So yeah. I am out on him as the fantasy player this year, not the actual football player.
Okay. Aaron Jones, though, he's fourth round ADP, RB9 last year. People forget because, I mean, the Packers offense, they underperformed all year.
Yep.
Aaron Jones is just kind of that old, quote-unquote, old toy nobody wants to play with. They want the new and shiny gadget. Mm-hmm. 1,100 yards on the ground, 400 through the air, 7 total touchdowns, 285 opportunities. I didn't realize he was still that involved.
Yeah. I mean, even while having A.J. Dillon, he's still the clear RB1. They can do a lot of different things with him. Even though he is smaller, they do trust him in those short yard situations because he's just shifty and he's just shifty back there.
Yeah.
His last four seasons, he's been an RB1 or better. There's no reason why he can't do that again.
I would agree because
even in the offense they had last year, it was the slowest paced offense in all the NFL.
It was. It was the 32nd ranked. I didn't realize that either.
Those opportunities could go up. They might not be better, those passing attempts, because they're from Love. And, you know, but Rodgers was average last year. So, like, just more opportunities means more chances for yards, touchdowns, catches. Like, he could be the same average, but just get more opportunities.
A.J. Dillon, though, don't let the RB25 finish to fool you at all.
Right.
This dude was awful last year for fantasy.
He was. He had
weeks 12 through 15, he posted top 12 finishes in all of them. 4 of his 7 rushing touchdowns came in those 3 games. It was just an overall – I mean, for dynasty startups, I was deciding in the 6th, 7th round between him or Ken Walker. I mean, it was really supposed to be a true hand-over-the-reins type situation last year to A.J. Dillon. Obviously, they don't trust him because they brought back Aaron Jones. His ADP is in the 8th round. What the fuck? Who the fuck is drafting A.J. Dillon in the 8th round?
I'm trying to see. I did a mock. I don't think I put him down. Now, let me see where that last mock was. I mean,
I'll show you what his ADP. Give me the same round. Give me James Cook, Antonio Gibson, Zach Charbonnet, Brian Robinson, all ahead of him. Khalil Herbert's going a round and a half later. Give me Herbert over A.J. Dillon. What are we doing in the 8th round?
Yeah, why can't I find him in this stupid? There you go. Yeah, 807 in my latest mock in a 12-man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, ahead of Gibson. I mean, they're kind of in that same category, RB2. Herbert, he should be the running back one. We don't know.
Even if he's not, give me Herbert.
I mean, I don't know. That's kind of a wishy-wash for me, but whatever. No, I'm not taking him in the 8th round at all. But if Jones does go out, he is the probably best backup running back in fantasy and probably football too, but in fantasy right now. So that's the only reason why you would take him. But again, not in the 8th round, not in the 10th, 9th round, 10th, 11th, maybe.
You're not drafting backup running backs in the hopes that he can be the starter if an injury happens.
Right.
You're higher on Christian Watson than I am. Let's hear it.
I just think, I mean, so in PPR, he was a wide receiver 41. In standard, so non-PPR, wide receiver 25. Just insane. He had 66 targets, 41 catches, 600 yards, and 7 touchdowns, and he ran for 1 or 2. Those averages are not sustainable.
No.
Like the 41 catches for 7 touchdowns. But the upside that he has, he's a freak of an athlete. He's the best athlete on the team, best receiver on the team, and he was injured last year. He was really banged up. I just see that this offense, if they're average, what they were last year, and he plays every game, if he plays every game, those targets go from 66 to, 85? Catches go up to 60, maybe 800 yards with his speed, 10 touchdowns. Like, He's a Mike Williams. He really is, but he's faster than Mike Williams. He's more athletic than Mike Williams.
The 66 targets you just said. If he plays every game, 85 targets. That's still not a lot for.
But that's just mid. Like that's like the middle. Like that's like the probably low end.
Right. I don't think this is going to be a top half offense in the league. And even if he's a wide receiver one, even if he gets 100 targets, I think, is his absolute ceiling. I wrote down, I think he'll be a disappointment for fantasy for how talented a wide receiver this guy actually is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, best ball is a little bit different just because, you know, how it's ranked. But let me go to my last mock. I think I drafted him. Yeah, but he was my fourth wide receiver. So where did I get him? I got him. Did I get him? Yeah, I got him at the 504. So would you rather have him? We'll just go DJ Moore, Watson, Godwin, Judy, Drake London, Michael Pittman.
Give me Godwin because I think he's the best receiver out of the core.
Yep, that's fair.
I'm out on DJ Moore and I'm out on Jerry Judy. So I would take Christian Watson over those guys.
Okay. And then Drake London and Pittman.
I would take London over Watson, and Pittman and Watson are a wash.
See, I think so. DJ Moore and Amari Cooper went 6 and 7 picks ahead of him.
Oh, you didn't give me Amari Cooper. I would take Amari Cooper over Christian Watson.
Well, yeah, I think Amari Cooper is a steal. We talked about that last week.
Right.
Last week. But I just think where he's going, all those guys besides Godwin are up in the air with questions. I mean, even Godwin's a question at quarterback. Jerry Judy's question at quarterback. Drake London for sure question at quarterback. So is Pittman. And I'm not saying Jordan Love isn't. But the upside that those receivers have in the athleticism and who they are, the speed, like Christian Watson has Tyreek Hill breakaway speed that you can't, these guys just don't have.
Sure.
So that's why I like him. I think he's going to be the center point of this passing offense. And again, I just think the Packers are going to be better than what everyone else is saying. And I'm not even having them winning the division. I just think they'll be better than what everyone else thinks. So that's why I like Watson and Romeo Doubs. He's going the 13th round.
Yeah, I wrote down he won't be drafted, but the second he scores, the second he gets like 6 or 7 targets and or scores a touchdown, he'll be on everybody's waiver wire ads.
Yeah, he posted the same targets, same receptions, 150 yards less, and obviously not the touchdowns as Christian Watson. And you're going to get him around 13 or undrafted. So I like Romeo Doubs because, again, it's a dart throw. He could lead this team in targets, but it's not going to be total points because he doesn't have what Watson can do.
He could lead this team in total targets, or he could be the wide receiver 3 and be irrelevant.
He could, but, again, round 13, who cares?
Right. I personally won't draft him, but, I mean, I'll spend a couple bucks on him if he shows promise week 1.
I didn't write anything with the tight ends. They're rookies. Musgrave is going to be the tight end 1 on this team. But kind of the same thing like Laporta, but I'd rather have Laporta, just a better, should be better offense.
Yeah, the only tight end I wrote down in this division was TJ Hockenson.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't write Komet down. Sorry, Dodge.
Bears, 3-14 last year.
They started out 2-1.
Every week, we were trusting the process. After week 6 on, the offense looked decent. Justin Fields looked decent. But we lost the game. We were like, all right.
Decent. Perfect. He looked decent.
As a rusher, he looked decent.
Okay. And he's a what position?
He is not a rusher.
Oh, okay. So I'm glad that what he's good at is not what he's supposed to be good at.
But we are talking fantasy. And for fantasy purposes, in the 4th round, with 1,100 rushing yards, QB6 last year, he has top 5 upside, and there's a realistic shot he can finish as a QB1 this year.
No, there's not. There is no chance.
Tell me I'm wrong.
There's no chance he'll be QB1. Those 1,000 rushing yards, if they stay, those passing yards are not going up. And so it's going to be the same thing.
His passing yards will go up. His offensive line got better. It's not great, but it got better.
It's still bottom half in this league.
It is. They got him a solid wide receiver 1. And he's going to be a better quarterback.
Okay, so his passing yards will go up, but his rushing yards are not sitting at 1,000.
No, they won't. They won't sit at 1,000, but they'll drop to maybe 700-800. He's going to still scramble.
You think that – oh, my God. I do not – 65% of his rushing yards, I think even more than that, were based off of scrambles.
Oh, yeah, it was in the 800s off of scrambles.
Right. So, obviously, you guys got a better offensive line.
Yeah.
You added a better wide receiver. Mooney, Claypool should be, you're going to the season healthy. So he shouldn't have to scramble as much. So those 800 yards could easily drop to 300. And now he's only rushing for 500 yards. And he's not going to throw up over 4,000.
But they still design plays for him in the red zone. He's still going to get those rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he didn't have that many rushing touchdowns last year.
He had 8. That's a lot for a running back.
For a running back.
And he's a quarterback. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying I'd rather have Herbert, who can easily throw over 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. Fields will never sniff that. I'd rather have Lawrence, who's going later, who could throw over 4,000 and 30. Like, where Fields is going, he could be a QB4, or if his rushing yards drop to 500 and his passing yards only go up to 3,000, like, that's just not enough.
Where Lawrence is going, what, a whole round later? I would rather have Fields at their current ADP just because of the rushing ability. Lawrence doesn't run.
Had 5 rushing touchdowns last year.
If I'm spending up on a quarterback, I want a rushing quarterback.
Right, but Lawrence had 3 less rushing touchdowns.
And how many less rushing yards?
What does that matter? Justin Fields' rushing yards are going to drop.
Not to Trevor fucking Lawrence's rushing yards.
If he rushes for over 500, his passing yards will not be over 3,500. They'll be max 3,000. If he rushes for 800 yards, it'll be 3,000. Lamar Jackson's MVP season was 3,100 passing yards and 1,200 rushing yards with 36 touchdowns. Fields is not doing that.
So you just said if he rushes for the same amount of yards, that's 800 more passing yards then, from 2,200 to 3,000. If he finishes a QB.
That is his absolute ceiling, though. Like, that's his best season is what he is. Those are his numbers. And I just don't think him or the team will do that.
All right. Well, we might have to make a bet on it.
We will, that he will not have 4,000 passing yards, because that's what he's saying he's getting.
It's kind of sad I only wrote down 3 total people for the Bears offense.
I mean, I wrote RB room, so.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert, his ADP is the back of the 9th round. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I think he's going to be the RB1, but you can easily make a case for Deonta Foreman, Roshan Johnson, but you can make a case he's going to be more involved as the year progresses. In the 2 games where Herbert got 60% of the snap share, he had a total of 42 opportunities, 230 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, he's not involved in the passing game at all, which it limits his upside, but
well, Fields isn't a dump-off passer anyways.
Right. If Fields can scramble or dump it off, he's going to scramble.
Right.
I'm totally out on all these guys for redraft and dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, Herbert, I'm going as my RB4 just to have if he is the main guy. But sure. I'm not taking him as my RB3. Like, it's got to be RB4, RB5. But yeah, it's just so mucky that you can make a case for everyone. And Fields should run the ball.
Right. Whoever finishes between these three running backs, whoever finishes the highest fantasy ranking, their ceiling is a low-end RB2.
That's fair.
DJ Moore is the only receiver I wrote down. He's going in the 5th round. I mean, his situation didn't really change. Went from a run-first shitty offense to a run-first shitty offense. Mm-hmm. I get that he's the wide receiver 1, but that puts him square in, like, the wide receiver, like, 16 to 24 range for me.
Right. Yeah, if he's my wide receiver 2, gross. Wide receiver 3, that's fine. But like I just said in my last mock, I got Amari Cooper, the pick after him, as my wide receiver 3. Give me that over DJ Moore and Watson, Godwin. I just think there's more opportunities for him.
Yeah, I mean, in the 5th round, I don't really love it. It's 6th round, if he's my 3rd wide receiver and I start to round out my team, fine. He'll be safer, but he has no upside.
Yeah, I don't see it. He's always a wide receiver 2 guy, and that's kind of just what he is.
Yeah. All right. Well, we didn't write down Cole Kmet, so this is standings time.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have the first place the same, I would think.
I have the Detroit Lions.
Yep, same.
What's your record?
10-7.
Oh, me too. All right. I think this is going to be one of the worst divisions in football with the no, sorry. This won't be one of the
closest.
It'll be the shittiest first place team is how I should say it.
NFC South.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, I had 9 wins for whoever the fuck I put up there.
Yeah.
I have the Vikings in 2nd place.
I technically have the Packers, but only at 9-8.
Okay. I have the Vikings at 9-8.
I have Vikings at 8-9.
I have the tie for 3rd place, Packers and Bears, both at 7-10.
I had Bears at 6-11.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, going back and forth, I was looking at the schedules. I wrote down, I usually, if it's a closer division, I write down 3-3 for every divisional matchup. But for this one, I did Lions and Vikings at 4-2, Packers and Bears at 2-4. And then
I did 3-3.
Okay. Nobody's going to beat up on each other. No one's going to run away with this division. Even though the Bears, you could say they got better, yes, it's just unrealistic to give them a winning season after going 3-14 last year. So.
Right. And, you know, I mean, but I could also see Vikings, Lions, or the Packers possibly winning. You know, could the Bears? Yes, we've seen it before. We've seen, obviously, Jags did it last year. The Bengals have done it. Like, it can be done. Do not get me wrong. But at this moment, we have not seen Fields be able to do that. Same just with just the offense in general and passing. But, I mean, I'm also, you know, for us Packers and Bears, you know, I think either one of these teams, they could also finish last.
They could. And that's why I have the Packers tied for last where I have them. They can compete with the Lions for overall roster, but I'm just not a Jordan Love believer, so that's why I have them where they are.
Yeah, and Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, he did have his worst fully starting season of his career, essentially. But, you know, I think he threw 3,800 yards, which is it's okay. You know, for Aaron Rodgers, that's not a lot.
I was going to say, okay for Aaron Rodgers, yes. That's good for most quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think it was like 36. Let me actually double check, though. Not Aaron Jones.
Well, yeah.
3,700 okay. And 26-12. That's his worst season if you factor in the yards and the touchdowns. And obviously it was his most interceptions ever in his career.
Right.
So like if Jordan Love does that again, 37 yards, yes, that is a lot. But if he can be at 3,400, 25 touchdowns and limit those picks to 6, the Packers could easily be 7-10, 8-9. So if he's just average, that's where I see the upside in the Packers, just like the upside in the Bears. If Justin Fields does have a great season, then they could be a last place schedule. Then they could be a 10-7 team.
Well, I was going to say, both of these teams should be fighting for a wild card most of the year because of how shitty the NFC is too. So
right. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be weird. I love and I hate that we play each other week one. No matter who wins, that fan base, no matter what, even if it's a 40-point point blowout or a game-winning field goal win, that fan base is going to be talking the most shit, even if it's 3-0 game or a 45-0 game.
Like 100%. The narrative, if the Packers win, Jordan Love's the greatest of all time.
They have a new owner.
And if the Bears win, it doesn't matter the score. Oh, Jordan Love is ass. Yep. There's a new sheriff in this division. Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that on both sides because I'm not the biggest Jordan Love believer. I think he can be. I think his ceiling at this moment is a Derek Carr
for his total career.
Yes, at this moment. Yeah. Obviously, that can completely change. He could come out and suck, or he can come out and be a 4,200 guy and 30 touchdowns.
And most franchises would gladly take a Derek Carr for 10 years. With the roster.
Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, like, you're not excited, but you know that you have a guy who can win you a game.
For how many teams go through the quarterback carousel every year, 2 years, 3 years? Yeah. I would love to just have a solid quarterback for 10 years and not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it'll definitely be an interesting division. I'm glad that we're both out on the Vikings. Like we don't have them win.
Oh yeah, I have the, we. You have them at 9-8, right? Or 8-9.
8-9.
So I have them four wins less. You have them 5 wins less. You could have easily finished around this last year. It's, again, 11-1 in 1 score games. That's not with a negative point differential. That's never going to happen again.
Yeah, I could see them taking last in this. I could see any team taking last in this division. Their defense is going to be the worst in the league.
Yeah.
Bottom four.
I don't know if you can say that about any other division besides maybe the NFC South again, where any team could finish first and any team could finish last.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I mean, we like the NFC North so much, obviously, for obvious reasons, but a football fan outside looking in, this is a boring-ass division.
The narrative is there, though, for the future.
Sure.
The narrative is there. Like, we'll go glass full on both sides. Fields is the answer. Love is the answer. Now we have the biggest NFL rivalry, oldest one, with star quarterbacks, young receivers, draft picks. Like, we both will have, should have two first round picks next year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, seriously, that could be fun to watch. I don't know if I'm hoping for the Packers to do good, but
well, right. I never want the Bears to do good by any means.
It could be fun to watch.
But exactly, it could be fun, just like when we were both battling during the Super Bowl days, like the Cobb year when it was in Soldier, like both teams battling. It just makes the NFL more fun.
Yeah, I wish we were just playing some random AFC opponent for week one.
I know.
I hate them. And then we have, like, we don't play a division.
Who do you guys have week two?
Let me see.
We have Falcons. I'd rather start out with against Atlanta and then play you guys week two.
I know we have a tough verse. No, no, we have Tampa week two.
Okay, yeah. Let's just switch those because I'm sure they might be playing each other. Let's just switch those two.
Our division matchups are weird this year. We go, like, nothing for a while, and then weeks November 19th, 27th, and December 10th, we go Lions, Vikings, Lions, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That does it for our
division breakdowns.
Division breakdown. My guy's coming up. Bus, sleep out, sleepers, breakouts. We'll probably get another redraft mock in here, and then it's go time.
I know. We are, what's the date? The 25th? I think the Hall of Fame game's next week between the Jets and Colts.
It is next set. It's Jets and Browns, I think. It's next Saturday during our Dynasty Startup Draft.
Oh, I wonder if Aaron Rodgers will be out there.
Could get some. Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
And if you're listening from the Midwest Monsters, rankings are coming up.
Let's go. We have our draft that starts in technically less than a week now, 6 days and 20 hours. Rankings will be coming out. Could be some big trades coming. It's always stay up to date with our dynasty teams.
We've made it. We're so close.
Now that camps are here and I can just see everything happening and balls being thrown, it's football season.
It is football season. Follow us on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram at the Kneel Down. We post all these videos on here. If you're listening to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, want to see our faces. And tune in next week.
We'll see you next week.
See ya.